ॐ ज्ञानचतुरङ्गस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मनसज्ञेन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोविश्वं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयमृषकदामय ददामि स्वापदा. पञ्चकाभ्यश्चिभ्येभ्य च प्रतिदानं भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतिकराधा श्रीवसति घोरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Well, thank you all very much for coming and participating in the program. It's very nice in that everyone's very happy, it seems. Everyone's happy. Yeah, really bringing us closer together in Krishna consciousness. So, even though I'm very unworthy and really not worthy actually, but somehow or other we're doing this because it's the desire of Srila Prabhupada that we carry on the movement and spread the movement. So someone was saying earlier, it may have been Sarup Damodar Prabhu, that he felt, actually I forget exactly, but it may have been, that some of my disciples were doing some useful service, responsible service, and I was happy to hear him say that. And I know there are. So one thing I'd like to say, I mean this may be slightly eclectic, in the sense that we may just go from one topic to another. It may not be all totally connected, but like different segments on different subjects. But I would like to say one thing in that regard, and this is particularly for my disciples and aspiring disciples, is that of course we know everyone is an individual and everyone therefore has their different capacities in terms of what they can do, what they may not be able to do. So that of course has to be taken into consideration, and some devotees can do a lot actually, other devotees can't do so much. Just due to the way they are. But for my disciples and aspiring disciples, and in a broader sense, I really feel this for everyone. Everyone at least who's really taken up Krishna consciousness and is trying to practice it. Which means people who are disciples or aspiring disciples, committed devotees, that we should all have some real service to do, some commitment in devotional service to do something for Srila Prabhupada. And like I said, that will vary in terms of the capacities of the devotees, but I particularly want that my disciples and aspiring disciples, that they're not too much, so to speak, passengers on the boat of ISKCON, just happening to be carried along by it. But I would really like to see that those of my disciples and aspiring disciples, that they find something suitable to do, active service, meaningful contribution to Srila Prabhupada's movement, and then they really try and do that. Yes, some Some will be able to do more than others, that's okay, but everyone should really try and do as much as they can, as much as they're able, as a contribution to Prabhupada's movement. And the mission of establishing Krishna consciousness more and more around the world. In other words, we shouldn't just be happy just to be members of the audience, but we should be part of the program which is going on, which is happening. So, is that okay? Okay. And, you know, some like the brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, they don't have families, and they have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we, of course, they're in the ideal position, really, for doing like this. Others of you are married, or married and working, or maybe not yet married, but working basically in that sort of line of eventually entering into household life. So we understand that you don't have the time that the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis have, but should do something. It shouldn't really be sufficient just to say that, well, my services, looking after my children, or my services, working to maintain my family, although that is service, and it is very important, vital, but really we want to see that everyone finds some time for doing something constructive, meaningful service for Prabhupada's movement, like the young people, I mean teenagers or early 20s who are at university or tech, then of course we don't want you to endanger your studies, but you must really help spread Krishna consciousness at your, whatever it is, tech or university. Is that okay? When you get there. Please. Is that okay, Ramesha? Yeah. No, it's serious. We want you to do like that. And don't go overboard like some do and forget about studying. It's a nice sentiment, but we want you to pass also. But, you know, do something like that. And it adds value, positive Krishna conscious value. Yes. So like this, if we work hard to spread Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said that this Krishna consciousness movement is not a place for lazies or crazies. I don't think any of you are crazies, but don't be lazies either. Really, try and do something for Krishna consciousness. And then if we work hard and do our best, according to our capacity, then we'll progress, we'll really progress, actually, by the mercy of the Lord. You know, there's the pastime of Lord Chaitanya cleansing the Gundicha temple. In Chaitanya Charitamrita that is described. How he, just before the Rathayatra festival, he gathered all the devotees together and then cleaned the Gundicha temple because the Jagannath deities come there in the Rathayatra and they stay there for a week before there's the return Rathayatra. So they cleaned the temple to get it ready for the Jagannath deities. And so Lord Chaitanya made a competition about it. Who can collect the most dirt? And he would go around checking, how are you doing, how are you doing, how much dirt have you got? And telling them that, oh, Manacharya's got so much dirt. And, you know, what about you? So in this way, the devotees would get excited and inspired. And if someone was not collecting much dirt, then Lord Chaitanya used a special, unusual weapon, transcendental sarcasm. That if there was someone who had a small pile of dirt, he'd go and say, "Oh, look how much dirt you've got. Just see, you've got so much compared to that person." So then they'd look over and see Govardhan's pile of dirt was much bigger. And then they'd feel cool. And so they'd become inspired in that way. So anyway, they did like that. They cleaned and cleaned until the place was spotless. And then they compared the piles of dirt to see who got the most. And who got the most was Lord Chaitanya himself. In fact, he got more dirt than everyone else put together. And the place was just sparkling clean. So then, Lord Chaitanya did a very remarkable thing. After this was all done and all the piles of dirt were there, then Lord Chaitanya said, "Right, we are going to clean the temple again." And the devotees thought, "What? Clean it again? Look at it. There is absolutely no dirt. What's the point? It'll be a waste of time." But they did it again. And the second time, they got more dirt than the first time. They couldn't believe it. Where is this coming from? And again, Lord Chaitanya got more dirt. So there's a very nice description. Srila Prabhupada gives a very extensive purport to one of those verses there. And Prabhupada refers to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's comments on this pastime. And the basic idea is that the first cleaning is like he compares basically the cleaning and the stages that they went through, how the cleaning developed. He compares that to the process of devotional service and how it cleans the heart in different ways on different levels. And he says the first cleaning is compared to when you cleanse your heart in devotional service to the point where you can follow the regulative principles reasonably, safely, or in a reasonably stable way without any lapsing off into, you know, like really getting into activities opposed to the regulative principles. Those regulative principles, of course, are meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. So initially when devotees come to Krishna consciousness, then they go through a period of sort of grappling with these things, and usually everyone has at least one regulative principle which is sort of a bit of a problem to them, generally at least. Some have difficulty with two, some have difficulty with all of them, but you know, usually it takes a little while to get to the point where you can follow the principles and you're basically safely situated in Krishna consciousness. So this is compared to the first cleaning. And then the devotee may think that here I am free from these things. I'm not doing these things. My mind is not drifting off so much into these things. I've made progress. Devotee will think like that. And it's true, actually, to come to that point means you've made progress, no doubt. But it is not that that is all there is to it. That is just the beginning. So then Lord Chaitanya took the devotees in for the second cleaning. They were thinking, what? Why? What's the need? But Lord Chaitanya, he knew, of course, that there are contaminations on deeper levels also. And Srila Prabhupada lists out a number of them, like being hypocritical amongst the devotees, trying to become prominent amongst the devotees, profit adoration and distinction, trying to just gratify your senses through devotional service, you know, like coming to the temple if you're a young male devotee, you come to the temple, but then you try and associate with the young female devotees, you know, move in those circles, this type of thing. Yeah. So, things like this, hypocritical hypocrisy, like we come to the temple in our dhoti and kurta with sparkling prominent tilak, or our sarayon, and with our bead bag in our hand, intently chanting our rounds, but as soon as we get home and lock the door and check that we're on our own, some other program starts. Like, was it Harry Dave said, the bold and beautiful, and like a TV program. Yeah, so subtle types of contamination. And interesting point is that on the second cleaning, which represents these more subtle types of contamination which are there, or more prominently there, when one has already come to the point of reasonably well following the repetitive principles, so they are more dangerous, those subtle contaminations. And this is shown by the fact that in that second cleaning, they got more dirt out than the first cleaning. So like this, we have to be progressive in our devotional service and our Krishna consciousness. And, well, we were saying how we want everyone to, you could say, pull their weight in this Krishna consciousness movement, depending on, of course, on their circumstances. But then another point, important point to note is what? That when they compared the piles of dirt, Lord Chaitanya both times got more. So the point here is that we have to make our best efforts in Krishna consciousness. And we shouldn't be lazy. Prabhupada talked about people can become advanced in Krishna consciousness either by just following the process in the normal way, or by some special mercy out of the blue. And Prabhupada gives the example of getting an honorary degree in a university. So some people, they don't go to university, but somehow or other they acquire some prominence in society and they're given a degree. Just given it. They didn't even open the book, let alone go through the whole thing and do all the exams and get everything right. That's an honorary degree. And Srila Prabhupada, in his very sober way, he says that we recommend following the normal process. In other words, it's not really a choice. What shall I do? Shall I follow the normal process, or shall I just hope for some special mercy? It's not like a real choice. Although it may happen that you get special mercy. But we should follow the process. So we should practice Krishna consciousness, heart and soul, and really absorb ourselves in devotional service. And in this way, so to speak, pull our weight in this Krishna consciousness movement. You know, particularly if you're fond of prasadam, you may have more weight to pull. Anyway, that's another thing. But the point then becomes, the next point becomes, that ultimately it is more a matter of the mercy of the Lord, in that Lord Chaitanya's pile of dirt was bigger than all the others put together. Yeah. So the ultimately that factor is really the main factor. But we will not get that unless we really do our best. So I'm appealing to all of my disciples and aspiring disciples that please be mindful of this, and taking into consideration your situation, see what you could do and do it. And don't just be satisfied just, you know, with a minimum. And ultimately the result of that is that we'll be more happy. Yeah. You know, I was recently, just days ago, in Siberia. We were having a devotee festival, devotees only, for a week. Everyone took a week off work. And there were about 350 devotees there. And, you know, I don't think there was a single brahmachari or brahmacharini there, but they're all working people, Namahata devotees. So we had this festival all day, and not exactly all night. There was a festival before that which was all day and all night. But this, anyway, we saw there how, you know, we talked with the devotees about what they're doing and what they could do, and trying to evaluate their situation, seeing how to apply Krishna consciousness in their particular situation. But there's so many of them doing a lot of service. One of the main ones, his name is Vishnu Tattva Das, old devotee for 20 years or more. And he's a married man with two children. But he doesn't work. He doesn't work. He just preaches. And he's the leader of the congregation there, in one particular city. They have a congregation of 300 devotees. They have programs 7 days a week for the devotees, but they don't even have a temple. So my point there is that, you know, oftentimes we'll find we can do more than what we think we can do. Because it has to be, these things have to be applied and implemented intelligently, because we do have cases at the other end of devotees at university failing because they're doing too much devotional service. And now you get someone like me, I'm meant to be, you know, officially at least one of the leaders trying to get more done in Krishna consciousness, and we end up having to tell them, you're doing too much devotional service. You're chanting too much. But, you know, that's sometimes a problem. But I would say in 99 cases out of 100, the problem is at the other end of the scale, that we can do more. So we should try and do what we can do to help spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Then I was at this other festival. It was in Lithuania. And I'd like some of you to come sometime, particularly, you know, those, or any of you actually, but particularly those of you who have some responsible roles in preaching, come and see some of these festivals. So we were there in Lithuania, same situation, 1 week, everyone took time off work, about 450 or 500 devotees. And some nights we had kirtan. Well, one night we had a program for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and we were talking about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and we showed a video of his last darshan. So Reverend Lord Vishnadev's appearance, I don't know if any of you have seen that. Very interesting. And then we distributed a little prasad. It was about maybe 9:30 by then. And then the kirtan was going. And the kirtan was so ecstatic, it was wild. It was almost dangerous. The temple room was, say, twice the size of this room. And the devotees were just running from one end and spinning around and just running to the other end, just completely flat out, totally. But some devotees would get left behind, you know, or fall over their devotees or something. And then they'd come charging back. So it ended up in this massive pile-up in the middle of the room, a heap of devotees at least this high, with arms and legs sticking out. But just so ecstatic, it was unbelievable. And that, you know, no one could believe it. The kirtan just went on and on. So, Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a very deep thing. We have our books, and we have our practices, different things we do and don't do, and so on. But if we're practicing Krishna consciousness properly, I mean, there are degrees of properness. It's not just like proper and improper. There are degrees of properness of practice, but if we're practicing properly enough, at least, say, then there'll be a very natural result. That is, we will become very blissful and happy. No more moroseness and lamenting and moping and depression like that. But we'll be very ecstatic. We'll be very happy. See, I'd like to, with my disciples and aspiring disciples, but you know, really we should apply it to all of us. Now you should apply this test. We want to see you really practice Krishna consciousness properly, chant your rounds properly, and follow the regulative principles properly. And yes, like this, become fixed up devotees. And there's one verse in the 11th canto that it explains that if Krishna consciousness is really being practiced nicely, then the devotee will see that there will be relief from the anxieties and so on of material existence. On one hand, that relief will be there. On the second hand, if one is doing it nicely, then one will become strong, meaning fixed, and not just wavering between getting dragged this way and that way by one's senses and mind, but one will become strong on the spiritual platform. And then a third thing, that through doing so, one will become very happy, very blissful and happy. Yeah. Just like the verse says, Just like a person who eats, a hungry person, if someone is really hungry, but then they eat. Sri Sri Natai Gaura Hari Ki. Sri Sri Natai Sachi Sutta Ki. It is not easy to attain Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. There are many challenges. We have to desire more. Anyway, the thing is, that verse says, is talking about someone who's really hungry. So they get some nice food, and they eat that nice food, and the first thing that happens is that the hunger, the unpleasant experience of really being hungry and feeling that lacking, that hunger is gone. And then second thing is that through eating the food, nice prasadam, one becomes physically strong. One becomes physically strong, and then one can do so many things without difficulty. And then the third thing is that when you eat that nice meal, that you enjoy it. So enjoyable. Sri Sri Natai Gaura Hari Ki. Oops. Halfway. Okay. Yes. So we enjoy. This is Krishna consciousness. If it's properly practiced, then the result of Krishna consciousness will be like that. I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's not long ago, just a matter of weeks ago. And Prabhupada was talking about contaminated religion and pure religion. Particularly in the sense of just, you know, a more very, like, sort of blatant sense of people doing religion just to get material things, as opposed to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was saying that we have to really cultivate pure devotional service and not be satisfied with anything less. We shouldn't just entertain material desires and hope that through Krishna consciousness we can fulfill them. But we should really try and cultivate Krishna consciousness and try and please Krishna and develop love for Krishna. So Prabhupada made a very interesting statement, particularly for those from Christian backgrounds, but it's a very nice statement. He was talking about how real religion means love of God, developing love of God, working on that. And Prabhupada said, not like the Christians. He said, the Christians have the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Prabhupada said, what has this got to do with love of God? Prabhupada said, this is about love of bread. That's a very good point. This is about love of bread. We love material things, so we want them. And we may use Krishna consciousness for that. So we want all of you, particularly my disciples and aspiring disciples, but really all of you should get this message that we should really be focusing on trying to develop love for Krishna, cultivating pure devotional service. And of course we know, so many of us have material desires. And like we mentioned household life, and so many of you are already in household life, and many more of you will in due course, which involves a certain amount of material desire and so on. So that may be okay. That is okay in the context of Krishna consciousness. If all these things are done within the context of Krishna consciousness, and not just as some program for just independent enjoyment. But we should really keep in the forefront what we are doing, what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness means that process for developing love for Krishna and not thinking so much, what will Krishna do for me? But rather thinking, what can I do for Krishna? This should be the basic idea. Even though the material desires may be there, or will be there even, to one degree or another. But we should know this is the direction that we are moving in. And we should try and move in that direction of cultivating pure devotional service and really trying to please Krishna through our activities, and not just, you know, being sort of steeped in material desire like that. Try and keep Krishna in the forefront. So please try and do like this. Please try and do like this. We are here to help. If I can help in any way, please let me know. I'll try. One of our god brothers, His Holiness A.C. Bhakti Vaibhava Swami Maharaj, who is coming, incidentally, for Ratha Yatra on the Durban Beach Run next year. Very wonderful devotee. Really special devotee. Actually, next year I think he'll be the chairman of the GBC body also. So he said a very nice thing. Well, I don't know about very nice, but I think it's a very true thing. He said, I mean, it's very nice for some people. He said, in Krishna consciousness, there is mercy and there is a burden. There are two things. There is mercy and there is a burden. He said, the disciples get the mercy and the spiritual master gets the burden. Yes. So, it's like that. But then on the other hand, well, that is particularly when the disciples are really neophyte and really struggling with the material nature. Then it's really like that. But then on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada in the fourth canto, well, in the fourth canto is the description of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, he was sort of a disciple of his mother, in that his mother gave him some good instruction very early on. His mother directed him very nicely, and he benefited as a result. As a result, he met Narada Muni, who became, you know, like really, more strictly speaking, his spiritual master, certainly his main spiritual master. And through following the instructions of Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj became perfect. And then later on, of course, his life came to an end, and he went back to Godhead. His mother, though, was still living at that time when he passed away. And in fact, she passed away at the same time. So there's a description there how Dhruva, the Vaikunthi airplane, came to get him to take him back to Godhead. So when he got on, then he told them, hang on, I'd only go without my mother, because she helped me so much, I really owe it to her. And then the inhabitants of Anquita said, don't worry, she's already coming, see? And she was already coming to Airplane. So Prabhupada talks about that, and the Bhagavatam discusses this point. How did the mother become qualified? She was not really an advanced devotee, although she was something of a devotee, but not like some serious sadhaka. It was just the culture, really. So how did she go back to Godhead or become qualified? And Prabhupada explains that it was because Dhruva Maharaj was her disciple in a certain sense, and he had become perfect. So she got credit. On the other hand, like we said, generally the disciple gets the mercy and the spiritual master gets the burden. But in this case, the spiritual master got the mercy also. And Srila Prabhupada, in his great humility, says that we are also praying that one of our disciples can become like Dhruva Maharaj and deliver us, deliver Prabhupada. Well, that's another thing. But my point is that the disciple can be a liability. In fact, initially, the disciples are generally liabilities. I mean, let's be honest about it. More than they are assets. And some are chronic liabilities. But the general tendency is, you know, the balance is more on the liability side. Yeah, which, you know, is just to be expected because people are just coming out of the material world. What do we expect? If people were already, Prabhupada makes the point, some devotee wrote to Prabhupada saying that, oh, all these people are such problems and, you know, why do we have to deal with them? And Prabhupada said, well, if everyone was perfect, we wouldn't have to preach Krishna consciousness. So, what do you expect? People are coming out of material existence. What do you expect? Perfection? It's not likely at all, at least. But the thing is, my point here is that in due course, through serious cultivation of Krishna consciousness and really seriously rendering devotional service, we would like to see the disciples becoming more and more, at least, assets. And then you can help me. Yeah, then you can help me. I would appreciate it very much. You know, some of you are doing very good service, and I really appreciate that. And also some others in other parts of the world. Some very nice disciples doing very nice service. So, please try to become that type of disciple, those of you who are disciples or aspiring disciples of mine, and those of you who are disciples or aspiring disciples of anyone else, please also you take up the same point and apply it for your spiritual master. Try to become that type of disciple who's really an asset. Yes, because then the spiritual master gets transcendental credit for that. He benefits greatly if the disciples really become assets and really very positive members of the Krishna consciousness movement. So please try and do like that, because we are connected. We are connected. You know, we've had different experiences interesting experiences which show that, at least they appear to show that, I've had experiences myself where one morning I just woke up and some idea came into my mind, material idea. And I thought, you know, what is this? Where is this coming from? You know, not even by my material standards, not something that was really my style, just something. And even, you know, during the course of the day, this idea sort of popping up. And I was wondering, you know, what is really going on here? And then the next day or the day after, some disciple or aspiring disciple, someone like that, comes to me and says, that, wow, you know, this idea, that idea, is just so much on my mind. Wow. You know, you've got to help me do something about this. And, you know, of course, maybe it's coincidence, but maybe not. Because according to Shastra, there is connection. And, you know, at least in a very simple way, if the disciple breaks a principle, for example, the spiritual master may well, and sometimes at least will, feel some reaction in the form of maybe some illness, problems, maybe a bad dream. But these things are sometimes felt. So in this case, I thought, you know, actually, to be frank, it's happened many times, quite a number of times. Some obscure idea just popping up and sort of hanging around for no good reason. And then very shortly afterwards, someone comes who, they're just, you know, in some sort of world of that idea. So there's a connection. There's a connection. The disciples are helped by the transparency of the spiritual master. To whatever degree the spiritual master is transparent and just sending everything on to Krishna and not hanging on to anything for his own benefit. To whatever degree the spiritual master is transparent like that, then the disciples are benefited. Yeah. Their practice of Krishna consciousness will become easier, at least to some degree. At least to some degree. And to whatever degree the disciples are really positively moving forward in their Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master shares that. It's the principle of responsibility. The same principle applies to parents and anyone who accepts service from anyone. If you accept service from anyone, like the husband and wife serve each other in different ways, then there's some, you have to reciprocate. Otherwise, it'll become a burden to you. So please, be very positive, be assets. If you're my disciples or aspiring disciples, if you're whoever your disciples are, please be assets. Be positive in your cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? No one objects? Please try and do like that. Yes. So like this, the process of devotional service is really so wonderful. If we practice nicely, then we will get unlimited benefit, far beyond what we want to speak of expecting, far beyond even what we were hoping to get, what we might have been thinking that maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get this result, but we can get far more. I was listening to another lecture of Srila Prabhupada just some days ago, and Prabhupada was talking about Jagai and Madai. How one of them tried to stop, I think it was Jagai, tried to stop Madai from attacking Lord Nityananda. although he didn't really succeed in stopping it, but he tried. And he had some feeling like that, even though he was a rogue. Prabhupada actually used the term rogue. And Prabhupada said that actually what had happened before was that Jagai and Madai, from time to time, they would hear the devotees on Harinam. And normally they would laugh. That, ha ha, look at these Hare Krishnas jumping around and singing and all that sort of thing. But one day, Jagai, he said to Madai, that, you know, they may be silly fools jumping and dancing, but actually they're singing quite nicely. Jagai said that, Prabhupada said. So as a result, you know, when the final showdown came, Jagai's consciousness was different. So just a little devotional service can have a tremendous beneficial effect. So I really appeal to all of you disciples and aspiring disciples and all of you in general that if you can get so much benefit out of just a minuscule amount of devotional service, what can you get out of just wholehearted, most sincere, from the heart devotional service? Your life will be transformed. You'll be very happy and more happy. And at the end of this life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead, and yes, this is the perfection of